Keep yourself in the loop of everything football on the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast. The latest news on and off the field, be it college football, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC to the NFL. We've got you covered. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast.
All right, and welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, it's Tuesday. You know what's next Thursday? Preseason football. I'm just going to keep bringing it up every show, too. I literally cannot hide my excitement for it. I mean, it's ridiculous. I was at a point where I thought, you know what, maybe the NBA is more entertaining to me than the NFL is. Okay, but I don't get excited for the NBA like I do for the NFL. Like, NBA training camp, preseason comes around, like, oh, who cares? All right, NFL training camp comes around, like, oh, football, I'm ready. Okay? I mean, I'm literally going to be watching my favorite team play the starters probably about a couple of series for three out of the four games and watch a bunch of guys who probably aren't going to make the team. But nonetheless, it's a whole lot more exciting than anything else. All right? I mean, football's nearly back. Okay? And, I mean, this is going to be a crazy season. So, I mean, that's all I got to say about that. Okay? But either way, let me tell you what we're talking about today. So, Todd Gurley ended up getting an extension from the Rams. All right? Aaron Donald's still without one. We'll be talking about that for the first segment. Second segment, Julio Jones is planning on holding out a training camp. I got some thoughts on that. All right. Third segment, I got more thoughts on the... Actually, you know what? We'll talk Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco. All right. I got a little sense of something going on over there. And then for the fourth segment, we'll talk about anything else going on in the world of football. We'll talk more about the Josh Gordon missing the beginning of training camp. All right. I saw it was because of anxiety and mental issues. So I got some thoughts on that. All right. So that's how today's show is going to go. It's going to be a fun one, as it always is. All right. So let's talk about Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, I mean, what? You'd say top five running back. For some, might be top three. Okay. I don't think I've ever seen really anyone talk about Todd Gurley being the best running back in the league. But nonetheless, he is getting paid as if he is the best running back in the league now. Okay. The LA Rams decided it'd be a good idea to give Todd Gurley a four-year, $60 million total contract extension. 45 of that is guaranteed. Okay? But, nonetheless now, I mean, how does this affect running backs? Le'Veon Bell's going to get paid next season. We'll get into that in a little bit. But, nonetheless, like I said, getting back to the Rams, I mean, I like this. This is a no-brainer move for them. Okay? And people are going to point, oh, what about Aaron Donald? I feel... And I might be going out on a limb here, but as far as the future of the team and success, I think that Todd Gurley is a guy that is more important to extend than Aaron Donald, okay? And this doesn't mean that the Rams aren't negotiating with Aaron Donald right now, okay? Their GM, I believe it was, came out and said that they are like simultaneously still working on a new deal, okay? But what I mean by... giving Todd Gurley an extension, let's say they give Todd Gurley the extension instead of Aaron Donald. I think that's the right move because you have a young quarterback in Jared Goff. All right, and we're at a point in the NFL where quarterbacks aren't what we're used to seeing. Meaning, from about the early 2000s to, I guess, up until this point, we've been absolutely blessed with watching Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Okay. Favre. But he was like early 90s too, so I don't know if he counts. But nonetheless, Drew Brees. Okay. Both of the Manning brothers. Phillip Rivers. Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers. Am I missing Ben Roethlisberger? Okay. Am I missing anyone else? I don't think so. I could be. But I'm just talking about like that group of guys. Not the Matt Ryans. They kind of came a little bit after or whatever. Okay. But basically guys from like the early to mid 2000s. And I guess, yeah, about that time when they came into league. All right. Those guys, you could put me out there. And I'm sure Peyton Manning would make me look like a decent receiver. Same with Tom Brady. Same with Aaron Rodgers. Okay. Those are just guys who, you put them on a team, they're going to make everyone else play well, and the team's going to excel. Okay? And I think with this new generation of quarterbacks, yeah, they have talent. That's not what we're arguing here. What we're arguing here is basically they're not as talented as the quarterbacks who have come before them. Okay? We're seeing teams like the Jaguars, all right? Blake Bortles, first-round pick 5 years ago, I think it was. All right? Blake Bortles is not a guy who is going to make the guys around him better or win you ball games on his own like those other quarterbacks. Okay? So that's why we see a Jacksonville Jaguars team run the ball constantly with Leonard Fournette and develop a solid defense where that's going to take a lot of the pressure off Blake Bortles and he doesn't really need to do everything that he was asked of before that. Okay? You have other guys who can do the job. So that's why I stay with Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff is a good quarterback, okay? He just played his second year, so I can't make a definitive answer on him or anything like that. But nonetheless, his last season showed me that, yeah, he could be a good quarterback, okay? But do you think he'd be as good of a quarterback without Todd Gurley, or do you think he'd get a little bit worse, okay? And you're probably wondering, what does Todd Gurley have to do with that? Well, Todd Gurley does a lot. Him being in the backfield basically keeps the defense on its toes, okay? Defense is always watching to see what Todd Gurley is doing. Todd Gurley is the best player on that offense. All right. You're spending a lot of your game plan watching out for Todd Gurley. So that means you're going to see a lot more guys in the box, and you're not going to be having Jared Goff go up against defenses with six defensive backs. Okay. It opens up things more for the offense. So that's what I mean there. Aaron Donald, I mean, let's say that you give Aaron Donald an extension. Of course, they can give both extensions. I'm just playing a little scenario game here. Okay. Let's say that they were to give Aaron Donald an extension and let Gurley go. Can you really tell me that the Rams would be better off with Darnold than they would with Gurley? I know they play opposite sides of the ball, but nonetheless, I think it's better for this team to get Todd Gurley taken care of first. All right, like I said, I think it was Les Snead who said that they're still working on a deal with Aaron Donald. It's not like they completely forgot about him. All right, chances are he might. Actually, I'm not sure if Aaron Donald, I don't know. I'm kind of torn between whether or not I think that the Rams are going to be signing Donald or giving him an extension. Okay, because giving these defensive tackles money like that means you're basically paying them quarterback money. Okay? Like we saw the Dolphins and Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh was a great player for Miami, all right? Pretty much did everything you expected him to. All right, was still dominant and all that. But nonetheless, did that really relate to or roll over to wins and losses? No, it didn't. Okay, and Ndamukong Suh can go out and have two sacks, a bunch of tackles and all that. But nonetheless, that doesn't mean that Miami's going to win that game. Okay? And what I'm saying here with Aaron Donald is you pay him all that money. And I mean, it's different situations too, given the fact that the Rams have by far a better team than Miami did when they had Ndamukong Suh. But like the point I'm trying to make here is you pay Aaron Donald all that money, but how much of it, okay, has to do with wins and losses. And I think that's the point I'm trying to get at here, okay? Basically, you can pay Aaron Donald that quarterback money, all right, but is it really going to, This is tough how I'm trying to get this across. All right. Do you need to pay him all that money? Basically is what I'm saying. Can you let Aaron Donald go and still be a great team? All right. Like I said, defensive tackles, they make all that money, but how much of them help out as far as wins and losses? All right. I mean, we don't look at the defensive tackle position as a position where that's like a game, like a team-changing position there. All right. Of course, they're going to cause havoc on the line and all that. They're going to get in the backfield, but nonetheless, is that going to help you win more games? All right? Or are you just going to be the same team as you were before? All right? So basically what I'm saying is, can a defensive tackle for all that money elevate you? okay, have an effect that a quarterback has on your team. Because, I mean, you're basically giving them the same money. All right? And that's just my point there. I mean, I have no problem if the Rams were to give or extend Aaron Donald and give him all that money. All right? I have no problem with that. Aaron Donald is the best defensive tackle in football. Okay? But I guess I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here as far as maybe why you don't pay him. All right? But either way, I mean, you got Todd Gurley, who's going to be making $45 million guaranteed. Le'Veon Bell's going to be getting a new contract with some new team next season. He's got to be getting more than that, I'm assuming. All right? Probably a little bit more. And I'm sure Le'Veon Bell's going to be a little bit happy about it. I mean, it was ridiculous seeing Steeler fans rip Le'Veon Bell. All right? On the surface, yeah, Steelers offered him a 5-year, $70 million deal. But when you look more into it, I mean, barely any of it was guaranteed. I think only about $10 million of it was guaranteed. Okay, and it was kind of like a Colin Kaepernick deal with San Francisco where you could basically cut him in the offseason and you don't have to pay him the rest of his money. All right, because on the surface, that Colin Kaepernick contract looked like a whole bunch of millions. All right, looked like Colin Kaepernick was going to be set for life, but of course, I mean, 49ers just cut him. They only got to pay him the rest of his deal. All right, that's what the Steelers were basically offering Le'Veon Bell, and I think that has to do with the fact that Le'Veon Bell's 26. By the time he's 30, the NFL is going to throw him away. All right. The running back position, by far the most disrespected in all of football. I mean, it's ridiculous. Okay? So, I mean, we need Le'Veon Bell to pretty much go somewhere and make that money. All right? And as far as, like, the whole running backs, because, like, I guess the whole theory is that when running backs hit 30, they tend to fall off. LeSean McCoy, I think he's, what, 30, 31? He's 30 right now. Okay? You see him slow down at all? Have we seen him slow down at all so far in his career? You're a liar if you say yes, because he hasn't. Okay? Dude's still a top five running back in this league. All right. I mean, it's just ridiculous how we got Todd Gurley, who's at 23, and you got people talking about how much longer can he play at a top level. Basically, as if the dude only has a couple more years left in his career. I mean, it's ridiculous how running backs get treated. All right? Oh, but since running backs are getting drafted in the first round, again, that means the position's back. No, that's not what it means at all. All right, don't fall for that narrative. That's all I got to say about that. Next up, we're going to be talking about Julio Jones, so stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Spent that first segment talking about Todd Gurley getting his 4-year, $60 million extension. Don't let the $60 million fool you. It's 45 guaranteed. All right, that other $15 million, it's on him to pretty much make it with incentives. So, I mean, it's no guarantee that he gets the full 60. Okay? And, I mean, it really is ridiculous how disrespected the running back position is. As far as how much they get paid and all that. I mean, we got defensive tackles making quarterback money, when in reality, I think maybe if you're the best of the best as far as the running back position, you should be making that money too. All right? But of course, once you hit 30, they don't love you no more. I guess that's just the way it goes. All right? But either way, okay. Now, we talk about another man who wants some money. All right? Wants more money. His name is Julio Jones. Okay? Julio Jones has been seeing all these other receivers getting paid, making more than him. Guys like Mike Evans, Jarvis Landry, Brandon Cooks. All right, Antonio Brown. Julio Jones doesn't like that. And I mean, why would you? You're one of the best receivers in the game. You want to be paid as such. Okay? But nonetheless, he wanted a new deal from the Falcons. The Falcons told him, no, we'll do a new deal with you. We'll rework your deal next offseason. Sounds great. All right? But not according to Julio. Julio now is going to be holding out for training camp. Okay? And if this isn't the biggest bluff that I've ever seen. All right, because you know what? Julio Jones, if I'm the Falcons, I'm telling Julio, okay, go hold out. That's fine. We'll see you week one. I mean, does Julio really think that the Falcons are buying him holding out going into the season? Okay. No, they're not. You really think Julio Jones, who has 3 more years on his deal, is going to hold out into the season and lose money? Come on now. Okay? This is one of the biggest non-leverage bluffs I've ever seen, ever. Okay? I mean, if you were on the last year of your deal, sure. Yeah, hold out, of course. All right? But you got 3 years left, and you're holding out? Like, what is the end game here for Julio Jones? Because he's not getting a pay raise this offseason. Okay? Maybe if it's just if they don't want to give me more money, then I'll just not show up until the season. Okay, more power to you. Go ahead and take those $40,000 fines for each day that you miss in training camp. All right. I mean, more power to you. It's up to him. I mean, like I said, the guy has absolutely zero leverage here. Zero. Okay? I was looking at his contract. All his guaranteed money's up. He got that. That was all front loaded. All right. Now it's just basically be on the roster week one. You'll get your money there, yada, yada. All incentives and all that. Okay? Julio Jones isn't too happy about that. So that's why he wants pay raise and all that and wants more guaranteed money. Julio Jones needs to fire his agent. Okay, if that's the case. Because you know what? Falcons made a smart business move there and his agent worked a bad deal. Okay, if all his guaranteed money was given to him on the first part of his contract. The early years of it. Okay? Don't get mad at the Falcons for being smart. Get mad at your agent for working you a bad deal. Alright? And I mean, if there's anyone that should be holding out right now, it's Odell Beckham Jr. Odell Beckham Jr. actually has leverage. Okay? Odell Beckham Jr., if he held out, would get a deal like that. Easy. Okay? Top 5 receiver in the league? There's no way the Giants don't extend him. Alright? Julio Jones, top right 5 receiver in the league. Only problem, got 3 more years left. Okay. It would make no sense business-wise for the Falcons to give him more money. Absolutely 0 cents. Okay. And fans will look, oh, he's done so much for the team, yada, yada. You got to stop looking at the game as if you're a fan and look at it as if it's a business. Okay, because that's ultimately what it is. Of course, we love watching the game because we're entertained and all that. It's a nice little Sundays, we get to spend about, what, 12 hours watching football? 9 hours? Okay. Naps in between, maybe? Either way, though, we're watching people do their jobs. We're watching a business take place. Okay? The NFL, I mean, they would say, oh, yeah, it's all because of the fans and all that. When in reality, I mean, fans don't mean as much as they think, I guess. All right, of course, as a whole, yeah, but the individual fan, not really important. Okay. But either way, like I said, I mean, fans are going to go, oh, he's done so much for the team, it doesn't matter. It's a business here. All right, and it's going to be treated as if it's a business. And financially, business-wise, it makes no sense for the Falcons to give him money, more money this offseason. All right. I even think they're being cool enough to be willing to rework a new deal for him next offseason when he's got 2 more years left. Okay. And I mean, Julio sure is doing a whole lot for only scoring 3 touchdowns last season. Okay. I mean, it's not like he went out and put up 10 touchdowns or anything like that. The dude only scored 3 touchdowns. Of course, a lot of that due in fact to the part that Steve Sarkisian doesn't know how to run a proper offense with the right weapons. All right, but either way, 3 touchdowns is 3 touchdowns. And if I'm Julio Jones, I'm looking at that. Yeah, I scored 3 touchdowns last season. I got 3 more years left on my deal. Why on earth would I hold out? Okay. Like, there's no way he thinks that the Falcons are going to be paying him. Maybe it's just an extended vacation for him. All right? Because he's going to be there week one. I see some Falcons fans are panicking. Don't panic. Okay? He's going to be there. Matt Ryan's going to be throwing him passes like usual. Okay? I saw trades come up, rumors and all that. That's not happening. Nothing is going to come from this. The only thing that's going to come, I guess the only thing that will come from this is the fact that Julio Jones will be playing week one, which we already knew. Okay? No one's getting a pay raise. And I think it's fine. Me, I'm all for players getting paid, but I understand it's a business, and I understand that the front office and all that, they also have to run it like a business. And sometimes it makes more sense for them not to pay a guy than it does too. All right? Like I said, if Julio was on the last part of his deal last year, of course you hold out. All right? Don't play a snap until you get that extension. Okay? I'm all for that. That's why I wish Odell Beckham Jr. would hold out. That's why I have no problem with Le'Veon Bell holding out. Okay? You let's say you don't hold out. You show up at training camp and all that. Great. Cool. You're there. It's good for the team. Fans are going to love it and all that. You tear your knee or whatever. You're never the same after that. Where's that money going to come from that you were expecting? Because it won't come from your team. They'll cut you and draft a guy younger than you that they could pay cheaper. All right? Julio Jones is what? Currently 29? All right? He doesn't have much left in his career. Probably one more contract and that's it. Okay. And I mean, look at Odell Beckham Jr. Dude suffered a season-ending injury last year. A couple more bad injuries, lower body. He's not the same player. Loses out on a whole lot of money. All right. Him going to training camp is a huge risk. Okay. But nonetheless, it's his choice there. All right. But either way, like I said, Julio Jones could hold out for the entire length of training camp. It doesn't matter. He's going to be there week one. Okay, this is one of the all-time worst bluffs I've ever seen in my life. Like, what? What is he? What is? Does he really think that the Falcons are pretty much scared? Oh, wait, what if Julio doesn't come to play for us this season? Come on now. All right. If anything, it just seems like maybe Julio needs a couple more days off. Okay. And of course, I mean, I've seen some Falcons fans talk about how Julio's not doing good for the team. And again, that's where the business part of it comes from. Or where it comes up. Okay? These guys don't care about fans. This is their job. Some do care about fans. But I'd say the vast majority don't. Okay? The whole fans pay the bills and all that. No, you don't. A lot of it comes from advertising. Okay? But either way, we'll see what ends up happening. I'm going to go ahead and call it now. Julio Jones' holdout isn't going to last too long. I mean, his agent's got to be telling him, like, dude, you're not getting paid this offseason. Okay. So it won't last long. It'll probably last a week or whatever. He'll be there for the first preseason game, I'm sure. If anything, he'll be there for the second. Either way, he'll be there week one, and everyone's going to go about their business. And once the season's over, they'll rework a new deal. Okay. So, that's all I got to say about that. I mean, like I said, an all-time worst bluff here by Julio Jones. So, next up, we're going to be talking about the Ravens. So, stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome to the welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. Sometimes I think I'm doing the intro. All right, but nonetheless, yeah, welcome back. All right, now we're going to be talking about Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco. All right, I feel like, well, let's take a little trip back then. Okay, remember a couple years ago, Dak Prescott got drafted by the Cowboys, what, in the third round, I think it is? A guy out of Mississippi State, all right, pretty much drafted to compete for the backup job. Okay. Yeah, he's drafted to do that. But nonetheless, training camp comes around, he's looking pretty good. Preseason comes, all right, the game's played, he looks great, all right, looks like he should be the starting quarterback. Okay. He was drafted in the third, second round? I don't remember, either way. Okay. Wasn't drafted to be a starter. Nonetheless, he played well enough to, I mean, obviously it took Tony Romo to get hurt, but it seemed that it was only a matter of time before Dak Prescott became the starting quarterback of that team. Okay. He ends up doing that. Now Tony Romo's basically watching football games in a booth for CBS. Okay. And then we go back a few more years further. We got 2012. Okay. Andrew Luck gets taken number one. RG3 gets taken number two. Ryan Tannehill gets taken number eight. Then over in the third round, which I believe was the 61st pick of the draft, Russell Wilson gets drafted by the Seattle Seahawks. Okay, people might think, oh yeah, well he was probably drafted to be their starting quarterback or whatever. He was not. Okay, let's not forget the name of a fellow named Matt Flynn. Okay, Matt Flynn was supposed to be the Seahawks starting quarterback that season. Okay. Gave him a whole deal and everything. All right. And turns out, training camp and those preseason games, Russell Wilson needed to be the starter for that team. Okay. Obviously, it was the right decision, because they got a Super Bowl out of it, and they've been to two. They got one win. All right. Probably should have won the second. But nonetheless, you know, Pete Carroll likes to, well, I mean, I guess, let's see, yeah. They beat the Broncos a couple years before that or whatever, but yeah. Pete Carroll should have gave the ball to Marshawn. I'm still not over it. I still think about it a lot. Okay. But nonetheless, Russell Wilson got him one and nearly got him two. Okay. So basically my point here is Ravens started training camp early. Okay, and I've not seen really anything bad about Lamar Jackson. Looking like he's pretty much a guy who deserves to be out there. Okay, and that makes plenty of sense given the fact that Lamar Jackson at Louisville did play in a pro-style offense. Okay, did play with pro-style schemes. All right, we've been seeing people say, oh yeah, he's ahead of the curve and all that out there. He's not really falling behind as a rookie like you'd expect. Yeah, that's why. Okay? So, I mean, basically the point I'm trying to make here is, I mean, I know it's still early and all that, and I'm not going out and calling saying that Lamar Jackson's going to be the starter week one. But nonetheless, we could have a Russell Wilson, Matt Flynn, Dak Prescott, Tony Romo type of situation on our hands here. Okay? And again, it's way too early to call it or anything like that. But there's a point where, I mean, going into the draft, Lamar Jackson was the most talented quarterback. Okay. And I don't think that's really up for debate. I don't think there's any quarterback in this draft class that could do everything that Lamar Jackson does. Okay. But either way, I mean, the Falcons or the Ravens took a chance on him with their last pick of the first round. And like I said, I do think there is a possibility that he is the starter week one. I'm not going to go and say it happens. I mean, I honestly doubt it does, but there is a chance. Okay, because Joe Flacco, last couple of years, I mean, has he really impressed anyone? Has he even impressed the Ravens? No. Okay. I mean, it seems like this is written in stone, Joe Flacco's last year with the Ravens. Okay. I mean, of course, yeah, Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. Whoop did he do? What has he done since? Okay. Last year they went 9-7, that's great, you missed out on the playoffs. The year before that, you went 8-8, great, you missed out on the playoffs. The year before that, Flacco played 10 games, they went 3-7. All right. I mean, 2015, he threw 14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. 2016, 20 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. 2017, 18 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. Are those the numbers of a franchise quarterback? No, they are not. Okay. And a Ravens, this Ravens team needs to be in the playoffs regularly. All right. John Harbaugh is a coach good enough to where they shouldn't be missing out on the playoffs 3 years in a row. All right. And I just think, I mean, what if Flacco, like I said, Flacco. As of right now, he's the starter. Okay. But let's say Lamar Jackson comes into the preseason games, absolutely tearing it up, making all the right throws, no turnovers or anything like that, looking like a seasoned vet out there against scrubs. I mean, are we for certain that Flacco is going to be the starter week one? If that happens, if Lamar Jackson has a training camp of preseason like a Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott, all right? I mean, honestly. Okay. Because, of course, I mean, you got the other rookie quarterbacks in this draft class, and I mean, I think that Sam Darnold's the only one who has a real good chance of starting. Okay. I think the Cardinals, there could be a, this is a quote, all right, air quotes right here, QB competition between Josh Rosen and Sam Bradford, but I don't think you necessarily pay a backup $20 million. Okay. I just don't think that really makes sense. So they'll have a competition or whatnot. I do think that Bradford will be the starter there. And like I said, Darnold is the one who could beat out McCown for that starting job. Okay, and you know what? Amongst those quarterbacks, Teddy Bridgewater, does he have a chance to become a starter week one for that Jets? Or I don't understand why the Jets brought on Teddy Bridgewater. Okay. I don't understand it at all. It really makes no sense to me. You gave Josh McCown a $10 million guaranteed contract for 1 year. Okay, you got a rookie quarterback you drafted number three overall. And he signed Teddy Bridgewater. What is Teddy Bridgewater's purpose on this team? Because if Sam Darnold ends up becoming the starter, then Josh McCown's the backup. Because you're not going to keep a third quarterback paying him $10 million. All right. So either way, McCown will be the starter or backup. And I think that just puts it to a point where, I mean, it's either Darnold as the third quarterback, or if he starts, then Bridgewater gets cut. Okay, and I think if that happens, Bridgewater's career is over. Okay, and maybe it's a point where the Jets sign Teddy Bridgewater, and I'm really reaching here, okay? Maybe the Jets sign Teddy Bridgewater to showcase him in the preseason, because if he plays well, I'm really reaching here. If he plays well, maybe there's a team who's interested in trading for him. Okay, maybe some team's quarterback gets hurt. I mean, you saw Miami last year. All right, Ryan Tannehill blew out his knee, ended their season right then and there. All right, didn't even have to play a game, and you knew Miami wasn't going to do a thing that season after making the playoffs the year before. Okay, it's a possibility. It could happen to any other team. All right, let's say it happens to whatever, any team. All right, they lose their quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater will be a wanted man. Okay. And I'm thinking maybe that could be the case here. All right. But either way, it honestly, if that's not the case, then it makes no sense for me. So it makes no sense to me as to why the Jets have Bridgewater, McCown, and Darnold. Okay. The Bridgewater one is the more puzzling signing. All right. But either way, I mean, like I said, getting back to the point, as far as Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco, I'm not out here saying Joe Flacco is going to lose his job to Lamar Jackson like that. Okay, but there is a point where Lamar Jackson has looked good enough into where, I mean, you've seen players and coaches pretty much praise him so far in training camp to the point where if he's that good, at least from what they're saying, and he plays that well in the preseason, let's say he outplays Joe Flacco, okay? I mean, can you really keep a guy like that on the bench if he's better than the guy in front of him? I think that's bad for the team. Of course, you're still paying Flacco a whole bunch of money, but I mean, there's a point where you got to do what's best for the team there. Okay. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think after that, after this season, all the guaranteed money in Flacco's contract is gone. Okay, and they don't have to pay him anymore, so they could cut him that way. I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. All right. It's going to be real interesting. But like I said, do not sleep on the fact that Lamar Jackson could end up taking Joe Flacco's job. Okay. I doubt it'll happen, but it's something that maybe to keep an eye on. And as far as all these other quarterbacks, I mean, I don't think that Josh Allen's going to be starting. It would make no sense for the Bills to start him given he has no weapons. Okay, Josh Rosen, I just think Sam Bradford is going to pay too much money for him to be a backup, at least to start the season. All right, Sam Darnold, I mean, I think he's the one who probably has the best chance to win a starting job. And Baker Mayfield, I think Cleveland is just going with the ultra cautious approach where Tyrod Taylor is their starting quarterback until he isn't. Okay. So we'll see what ends up happening, but nonetheless, wanted to bring that up a bit. So we're going to wrap it up here for the next segment. We'll talk about anything else going on in the world of football, so stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
And welcome back to the GSMC Football Podcast. So far today, we've talked about Todd Gurley getting his extension. Well-deserved for him, one of the best running backs in the league. For me, it goes Le'Veon 1, David Johnson 2, Ezekiel Elliott 3, then Todd Gurley 4. To finish on my top 5, it goes LeSean McCoy 5. All right. We also talked about Julio Jones. Probably one of the worst bluffs I've ever seen, okay? I'm not sure what him holding out does. All right, because, I mean, we all know he's going to be there week one, all right? And, I mean, the Falcons have already said that they're going to be reworking a deal with him next season, but I guess it's not good enough for him. But, I mean, it's a point where you got to get mad at your agent here. It's not the Falcons' fault that your agent negotiated a bad contract for you, okay? So, I mean, like I said, I mean, there's no way he's going to be gone for a week and he'll come back, okay? At least that's what I think. But either way, he'll be there week one, with or without a pay raise. All right. And then for that third segment, we talked about the idea of maybe Lamar Jackson having a Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson type of preseason where he basically steals the starting job away from the guy who, I mean, without question, was supposed to be the starter that year. All right. Like I said, Seattle, Matt Flynn was supposed to be the guy that year. Russell Wilson just played well enough to where Pete Carroll didn't have a choice and had to start him. Okay. Dak Prescott. Tony Romo was supposed to be the starter. He was week one. Ends up getting hurt. Dak Prescott takes over and Romo is now a commentator. Okay. And I guess now we're at a point where we talk about anything else going on in the world of football. All right. And Josh Gordon, we talked about him yesterday, okay? He's not going to be at the starting, with Cleveland at the starting training camp. He's going to be seeking counseling, all right? And, I mean, there was speculation about whether or not he was getting suspended. Some NFL spokesmen have said that he's not getting suspended. Adam Schefter said his NFL sources told him that he wasn't getting suspended. So, basically, I mean, there's not a whole lot of transparency here, okay? When you have one of the NFL spokesmen saying that we will deal with this matter at an appropriate time, that kind of makes you think, okay, what happened? All right. And I think what ended up happening was that, and I talked with Tate before this too about the whole situation or whatever, he basically figures. No, it's one where we got Hard Knocks coming to Cleveland, okay, for training camp. All right, last year, Cleveland went 0-16, okay? Josh Gordon has dealt with substance abuse issues for pretty much, it seems, since his adolescent life, okay? And also yesterday I saw that he was taking a break to deal with some anxiety and mental health issues, okay? All the things I listed. Browns going 0-16 last season. Now you got a real revamped team who could win some games this season, maybe be a playoff-type team, okay? Hard Knocks is coming, and Josh Gordon has dealt with years of substance abuse, okay? The pressure that Josh Gordon maybe was feeling is probably what made him seek counseling, okay? Tate's whole thing was that maybe Josh Gordon did take one of those substances and immediately let the NFL know after that, okay? Or he was going to, he was about to break, but nonetheless, let the NFL and the Browns know that he needed to seek help. I'm hoping it's the latter, okay? And I'm assuming it's got to be one of those two things there. I mean, there's been a narrative pushed out that this was all planned and whatnot. I mean, they just had a free month that passed where Josh Gordon could have did it if it was planned, so I don't buy that. But nonetheless, I do believe the story of maybe he was about to break. Because like I said, I mean, there's a lot of pressure there. The Browns got a real good team. Josh Gordon, when he's got his head on straight, is a top five receiver in the NFL. Hard Knocks, I mean, of course they're going to be focusing on Josh Gordon, his first training camp back in a couple years. I mean, that's a lot for someone to deal with. Okay? So maybe it was one where he was going to take one of those substances and decided not to and decided to get counseling and help for it, let the NFL and Browns know. Okay? And I'm hoping and assuming that's what it is. So I think that's what it is right there. All right. Like I said, I mean, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. Okay. Good team. I'm sure everyone's expecting him to come out and be the Josh Gordon that went for back-to-back 200-yard games against the Jaguars and Steelers. All right. And I mean, Josh Gordon was doing that with Brandon Whedon and Jason Campbell. Tyrod Taylor is 10 times the quarterback that those guys are. Okay. Just imagine what Josh Gordon can do with a decent quarterback like Tyrod Taylor. All right. A lot. Okay. So, I mean, that's all I got to say about that. Let's see what else is going on in the NFL right now. Let's see. I don't think there's much else. I mean, pretty much just the Josh Gordon situation that's going on. All right. And, I mean, you got to hope, because if Josh Gordon ends up getting suspended again, then it's over for him. Okay? You don't want him to end up like a Justin Blackmon or anything like that, or an Aldon Smith. I mean, Aldon Smith, dude, was the best defensive end in football, okay, but wasn't smart enough to get out of his own way. I mean, he's done in the league. He's not ever coming back. Justin Blackmon, I've given up all hope on Justin Blackmon coming back. When did Blackmon get drafted? All right, let me look at it, the past NFL draft history. I think, was it 2012? Might have been 2011, I think. Possibly 2013. Let me go back to the 2011 draft and see. Let's see. I don't think it... Yeah, it wasn't 2013 or 2011. Let's see. Was it 2012? Might have been. Might have even been 2010. All right. Let me double check it again. Justin Blackmon went 2012, all right, to the Jacksonville Jaguars at number 5. That draft with Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin. All right. Trent Richardson went in that draft. Let's see. Morris Claiborne went pretty high. So did Mark Barron. He's a linebacker now. Luke Kuechly went right behind Ryan Tannehill, Dontari Poe, Fletcher Cox, Stephon Gilmore. Let's see, Michael Brockers, Bruce Irvin, Dre Kirkpatrick, Melvin Ingram, Kendall Wright, Chandler Jones, Riley Rafe, David DeCastro, Dante Hightower, Whitney Mercilus, Harrison Smith, Doug Martin. This is a real good first round here. All right, but yeah, Justin Blackmon went number 5 overall in 2012. And those substance abuse problems took over him and hasn't been heard from since. Okay? I mean, I don't think he'll ever come back in the NFL. And there was a point where he probably would have been one of the best receivers in the league if he doesn't have those problems. All right? And I mean, you look at him and Josh Gordon, those guys were putting up numbers with awful quarterbacks. All right. I don't think people really realize that. I mean, 2012, I mean, he only really played one real season. 2013 was his second season, but he only played four games that year. 2012 is rookie year. He catches 64 passes for 165 yards, five touchdowns. I mean, you could tell from then that the dude was going to be a stud. And after that, it's just over. Okay. So, I mean, hopefully Josh Gordon didn't do anything, not getting suspended. Because like I said, if he does, he's done forever. All right. So we'll see what ends up happening. I mean, everyone's being real quiet about the situation. So I'm sure something's going to come out eventually. All right. But either way, we're going to wrap it up here. Today, we talked Todd Gurley. We talked Julio Jones, Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco, and then Josh Gordon. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Football Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.